Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
You're listening to The Sexy Unique Podcast. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shanehalls.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me.
I'm really excited because a lot has gone down, and I would actually not want to talk about it with anyone other than my guest today, Molly Mackler.
Hi, how are you? I have a question to ask you.
What's that?
So I woke up today like really late and there was tons of drums on my cell phone. So yeah. I was like, is there any way we can push till tomorrow? And you were like, no, because they're doing plumbing in my building all week. And I was wondering if your drains were clogged with cum rags.
You know, I woke up today to lots of emails from my building manager who was like, we have to do an intense plumbing renovation over the next 7 to 10 days because one of our maintenance guys found cum rags just piled up in the pipes.
And like,
do you know anything about this? And I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never interacted with anyone who's threatened me with cum rags. I don't know anything about this story. That's so wild. I hope you can figure
What's
it out.
What's odd about it is that they're printed with some sort of woodsy, folksy font, and they appear to be also a wedding invitation. Dragged, drudged through cum, and then our building septic system.
She's like, do you know anyone that would make a wedding invitation out of these?
And I'm like, on a dish towel?
On a dish towel? She's like, I've never heard of such a thing. It's so random. And I'm like, I know. Like, what? I can't believe it. No, actually, like, okay, so I have to say, I was really triggered by the threat of the plumbing being like tampered with any more than it's already been.
Right.
And I felt like personally drain shamed by Katie.
Drain shamed.
Yeah, I felt drain shamed because I was like, have had to deal with like already plumbing issues and there is like a renovation starting
so
in the building.
So she really hit you where it hurt.
Yeah, she did. And I was like, that's actually not
okay. She drain shamed you.
She drain shamed me. And I'm here to say that it's not okay to be drain shamed. And I would love an apology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it must be nice to feel like you're podcasting without a gun being held to your head, which is nice. It's exciting. Do you want to catch people up on what we're talking about that Katie threatened to
so
clog your drains?
On Friday night, about 11 p.m., I was finishing up a late dinner when I got a lot of notifications on my phone that Katie Maloney Schwartz had started commenting on a lot of my social media posts on Sexy Unique Podcast. And I ended up screenshotting them because I was like, this bitch might just like delete all of them and I need to have the receipts right. for everything. So she's...
Because you had posted down, that you want to save Schwartz, right?
Yeah, I had posted like a photo of Tom Schwartz hugging the pole when she like strands him and leaves him for dead to like call an Uber, which is not that hard or not that big of a troll. But I just said like, I'm starting to GoFundMe for Tom Schwartz, like for the emancipation of Tom Schwartz. Hashtag right. pray for Schwartz. Jax really loved that photo and thought it was hilarious and liked it and commented best pick ever. And then about a week later, Katie got involved and she commented, starting to GoFundMe to take this garbage down. Get a life, Lara. I thought we were cool. Guess not. V gross. Then she moved on to another photo. Oh, the video I posted, which I think is like some of my best meme work thus far in my career.
What was the video?
It's of her having like doing her stand up at the roast. And then because I was at the roast with my boyfriend and I noticed yes. that it cut to me and like my I was standing in the background and when
you
it
were
cuts
cackling
to the background,
in the background of one bitch.
There was some cackling, but then this one, I was just, there was no reaction to her joke because it was not funny. Because really her stand-up, the way that she does like stand-up comedy is to just like really enhance the punchline.
Actually,
and it was like,
I noticed that.
And she just keeps doing that. And for me, that didn't translate to a lot of lols. But I mean, I'm just one of many. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I felt like the rest of the audience, it was really hitting home.
And
so.
Sometimes, like, you know, it can be like a thinker, and just because you're not laughing out loud, I mean, you could just be thinking, you'll have a chuckle on the ride home. And some, that's the beauty of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't always laugh out loud. It hits you in waves.
Yeah. And you're not always going to just win over the entire audience. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever walk into somewhere thinking that like everyone's going to be on my side. Like, I know that there's some people that will have different opinions.
Sure.
So I just thought that that lack of reaction was funny. And I made a meme out of it where it just slow-mos my like response. And then she went in on that one. She goes, you're sad. And she goes, you're lucky to have been there, lol. And then she went to another one of me and my boyfriend like pointing us out in the background, and she said, desperate much? I'll clog your drains with my quote cum rags.
So that means she's been listening to your pod, right?
Yeah. So she's listened to the entire episode where at the very end of the first episode I just needed to get off my chest that the tea towel invitations reminded me of cum rags, mm-hmm. which I don't think is that far off base. I haven't been to a lot of weddings or received a lot of wedding invitations, but like, I mean, maybe you have been to more weddings than I have. I
went on a journey with the invitations that continued on in a strange way in tonight's episode. Just a lot of surprise choices for me, but I do think that you're not, I mean, not to call you unoriginal, but I think that even Stassi kind of said like, it's just like a cloth, like it's just a towel. And like, basically that's what a cum rag is. Like
yeah.
that is what you said was lateral to her own best friend's comment.
Like, yeah. And also, I mean, a towel, any towel, magic of a cum rag is that it can be, it's non-discriminate, it can be any towel.
Yeah, you can jizz on anything.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, for me, I don't, like, I have a drawer or cabinet of gym towels / cum rags, and if I were to have been invited to that wedding, no. I feel like one of those towels would have ended just, I mean, I don't know, I don't control where my cleaning lady puts things, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It would have been like, I'm sure it would have accidentally been used at some point as a cum rag.
Sure.
And I'm sure that maybe some of the guests at the wedding have maybe used it as that in a pinch.
Set of tea towels that I actually paid money for and enjoy. And like,
from
I'll
where?
Punch myself.
Like Anthro?
No, from a shop in Atwater called mm-hmm. Treehouse. And
love
they're
that.
All like dedicated to Atwater Village, which is because
gorgeous.
I'm the queen of Glendale and I just really like to honor my neighbors. And I like clean up my dog puke with them. My dogs puke sometimes.
Things happen.
You know, and I'm like, these are things that I bought to cherish, and now they're just here cleaning up puke.
When you associate anything you love on a rag, like in a pinch, I'm not saying I would. Yeah, I'm not saying I would aggressively be like, oh, there's her wedding invitation. Like, let's come all out. Like, let's wipe the cum off of it. I'm just saying, if I was in a pinch and I needed a rag to wipe up ejaculate and the only thing nearby was Tom and Katie's wedding invitation, it would do because it is a towel.
That's the purpose it would serve. Yeah.
So it wasn't like an aggressive thing. I was just making an observation.
Right.
But like if you're going to put your invitation on a tea towel, you should own that. It can be used for many things.
The stuff that happens with a tea towel is pretty gnarly. And that's basically the main reason why you don't want to consider that your wedding invitation or a keepsake, really.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's a keepsake. And I'm like, no. Tea towels like get beat the fuck up until they go in the trash.
Yeah.
Like they're basically like the whores of the kitchen. Like you just like use them for whatever you need to. And then you toss them away.
Yeah. It's meant to wipe things up.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a variety of fluids that need to be wiped up.
Why don't they clean up the mess? That's their fucking relationship. No, I'm just kidding, you guys. I'm sorry.
No. Okay. So
I know Katie thinks I'm a mean girl. So I just want to make sure.
I think all Stassi and Katie and Kristen think you're a mean girl.
They probably do.
Which is ironic.
Takes
one to know one.
But that said, I do want to say that we should talk about this too.
What?
Because if they were people that I knew in real life outside of a show, right?
Yeah.
I would think that they were just people and I wouldn't talk about them. I wouldn't have, I would be probably fairly uninterested.
Yeah. I would just be like, oh.
But there's a program on my television that comes on every week and it's fucking phenomenal. And it's called Vanderpump Rules and it's meant for my entertainment.
Yeah.
And the conceit is that these people are doing ridiculous shit and we're supposed to watch these people make mistakes. And then how are you supposed to not, as a viewer, comment on them? Like, you can't watch The Bachelor and be like, well, I'm sure at the end of the day, Corinne's a really sweet girl. It's like, no, they wouldn't be making a program if you weren't supposed to roast them. So it bums me out that the cast doesn't get that, like, this is the most I know how to love you. Like, this is what we were told to do with you.
This is my favorite show that has maybe ever existed.
Yes.
So much so that I dedicate a lot of free time and have gone through a lot of shit to make this podcast happen.
You want to be here.
Yeah, I want to be doing this. Yeah. I'm not getting paid for this. I'd get nothing out of this except for just like a personal joy.
Yeah.
So like, and I love these people on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. This is how I express my love for them. Were I to hang out with them in real life, and I have had the opportunity to hang out with them in real life, I've done that and I've decided it's not for me on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
It's not some, I love that, not for me. And I want some space.
And
I want
to
watch.
And you're also not asking do this.
I'm like, you know what? I was invited to the premiere of this season or whatever. And I opted to not go because it just felt a little too close for comfort for me.
Right.
I like to keep a distance. And that's just a personal decision.
Right.
I'm like, if you weren't on TV and Vanderpump Rules stops, I hope it never does. But if it does, this podcast stops. Because this podcast is about a TV show.
Right.
So like, don't get it twisted. I'm not like coming for you in your personal life. I'm coming for how you present yourself on a show that you're actively being a part of and actively acting like a monster on.
Well, because here's the thing. I actually think that in real life, I think that I would actually probably like Kristen. I know I like Stassi in real life. I do. I think that in real life, I think they are Schwartz is like the nicest fucking person. There is no one nicer on this planet than Tom Sandoval. Ariana's amazing. I really do like these people. They're not like, even if I knew them in real life, they wouldn't be at the top of my call sheet. I don't think I'd be at the top of their call sheet in terms of
that's
like
fine.
Peeps to hang with.
Yeah.
But I think they're probably they all have really redeeming qualities, but that's not what we're seeing on TV. And that's what they signed up for, which I know is a reason why I've always said I've had opportunities to do unscripted stuff before. And I've always said no, because one, I know that I would be edited into a monster because half the stuff that I say is fucking ridiculous when it comes out of my mouth. And two, I don't think I could handle it. I don't want to be scrutinized like that. I would rather be scrutinized for like the way that I communicate via writing or something or my podcast or whatever. I would rather be scrutinized for that than have all of America be like,
yeah,
you look fat at the pool party, which is no one who wants that.
No one wants. I mean, it just takes a certain type of person who's willing to put themselves out there in that way. And I love it. But at the end of the day, I want to turn it off and I don't want it to be part of my personal life. Mm-hmm. And so this is me doing that. And I'm not coming from like a place of jealousy that I'm not included. I truly don't, I don't want to be included. I just want to watch it, love it, and talk about it. Because, and honestly, like, what shocks me to my core, because we, Katie and I engaged in like some back and forth words on Friday night.
Sure.
And things kind of ended with her being like, I'm sorry you didn't get your own cum rag, but I think we've extended the invite enough. And I'm like, I think that she thinks that I'm mad that I wasn't invited to her wedding, or like that I'm not friends with them. And I just want to clear up that I'm not mad about that. So that's not what this is about.
I like to be included in the level that they included me in Katie's wedding, which the PR companies sent me a fake wedding invitation. And Katie wrote me a note being like, hey, girl, will you be my bridesmaid? Tune in on blah, blah, blah.
See, and then
that,
you know,
is
what?
The level I like to be involved in, where I'm getting a PR box.
You know what pissed me off? I feel like I've given them a lot of PR throughout the years, yeah, with my podcasting stuff, and like given them a platform. And I didn't even get a box. And I would have, you know what? I would have rather had the box over than the actually invite. Wedding invite.
Yeah. And you know,
and that's maybe why I'm doing this podcast right now, is I have a lot of lingering frustrations about that.
Totally. And I don't, and by the way, I don't know how I got picked for that, other than I just like troll them constantly, like the cast and everything else on my.
But they don't get mad at you for it.
Well, because I don't really say specific, I don't really, the things I say are, I always say that I don't think that I'm talking about the real people. And I also, I'm careful about what I say. But when I say I troll them, I feel like every people at Bravo are like, oh, that girl in California, Molly McAleer, fucking talks about this shit all the time for free.
They're like, let's give her something.
They're like, let's throw Sweetheart a bone over there, because she's burning her energy like crazy.
Her
she
wheels are spinning.
She does not work out because she does not stop talking. But yeah, so I don't know. Well, I think that this is good. I'm glad we're
here. I'd love a gift basket. I'd love some merch. I'm a real merch head.
Yeah, it was a good. It was.
It was good merch. You texted me a photo of it. I really liked
it. I know. I didn't want to make you jealous, but you can come over and drink some from my Sir champagne glasses.
All right, thanks. It's really ironic too that Katie would like comment at all, because if she's really that angry, the best way to go about something is to ignore it.
Right.
And like not give it any of your energy or attention.
Because doesn't her timeline see in her like that's
they
the
all
last
see
thing she commented
everyone
on?
That like follows the podcast sees, and then it got a lot more followers. So ultimately, like, thanks so much, but also please apologize, because I was super rude and my drains have been shamed and I feel really sensitive and it's triggering for me. So anytime you're willing to apologize, I'm willing to hear it, and then we'll continue on.
I think that's good.
Also, the timing of her flipping out over her wedding invitations, like right before this episode, which opens with talking about her wedding invitations, seemed a little bit like not thought out on her part.
I've never been married. I'm a little bit confused. I've been receiving more wedding invitations though recently, which is exciting, because for a long time I thought that I was incapable of being invited to a wedding, but it turns out that my friends are late bloomers, and so the invites are coming now. But everyone has a website for the RSVPs now. And so I was confused by the fact that people got a shirt box with a tea towel in it and some twine and an RSVP card that had to be physically mailed back. It just felt like very analog and strange for what we know of weddings right now. And like the fact that the RSVPs came back without people's names on it did not surprise me.
They got really hung up on the tea towel element and then didn't think through to like the actually we need to know what guests are coming to our wedding and what guests aren't coming to our wedding.
Because at that point, the printer's probably just bullshitting them and being like, yeah, you want to pay an extra $2 for these cards? I don't know how to do them. Everyone does websites now.
I think the printer was bullshitting them from the get-go when they were like, hey, have you ever thought about maybe doing a tea towel instead of like a paper invite?
It's just going to be like a smooth 18 per person. But this is what...
That's more than like... Anthropology charges for a tea towel.
No, for real.
Which I think are pretty nice tea towels.
Those are the nice ones. So this is what the RSVP card said. Okay, yeah. We can't wait to celebrate our love. Are you joining us in the woods? Which for me felt a little too
That's
close
aggressive.
To Slender Man. Like, I was like, did Slender Man officiate their wedding? Like, are you going to come join us in the woods for love? Hun,
it's good that you brought up Slender Man, because I'm really obsessed with that documentary, and I couldn't help but think while I was watching it that like one of the triangle brains or two of the triangle brains are going to Slenderman someone else.
Gina. It's gonna Gina be
Gina. Is about to get slendered the fuck out.
She's the sacrificial lamb for sure.
But who are the, like, I think Katie and
I think it's Katie
Stassi.
And Kristen.
Really?
Well, because I think Kristen's the friend that's like, I'll do anything. And, like, you know, Kristen's so, I guess, like, Kristen's crazy is super low key right now because, like, outside of showing up to James's DJ event to quote unquote eat popcorn and watch fireworks, which is just like crazy that she can always get these guys she's dating to go along with her to do anything.
But Carter is kind of like he's like a very submissive guy to her.
Does he want to be like famous?
I think that he just might be really into her and like loves her dominant energy.
I guess so, but like
he's like
I feel
the
like,
only guy I feel like she, I mean, Sandoval kind of was, I feel like Sandoval was kind of submissive towards her.
Yes, but I,
and then James wasn't. She went like the total opposite into like James, DJ James Kennedy territory.
Well, James like got a clue when someone was like, hey, aren't you a little bit upset that your girlfriend is like fucking obsessed with Tom Sandoval? Like, isn't that bizarre to you? And James was like, yeah, wait a minute. Maybe that is wildly inappropriate that a significant portion of our relationship is committed to the takedown of your ex. Like, that is what is weird to me about even the Carter thing, because it's just like, I can't imagine dating a guy and being like, hey, we're going to like show up to my ex-boyfriend's thing and like watch his life get ruined. Do you want to come?
If my significant other asked me to do that, I'd be like, no.
I'd be like, why are you frothing at the mouth to bring someone else down that you used to fuck?
We also need to schedule like a time to talk later on after you've gone to this by yourself about why it was so important and discuss the end of our relationship.
Exactly. It's like, clearly you're not over it. And these shows don't, I mean, they don't help someone getting over something.
No, they're like, hey, oh, you guys broke up, that's amazing, because every day for the next 6 months of filming you're gonna have to interact and talk about them and like go to their events, or else you're not gonna get paid.
I know. I was thinking when Sheena later in the episode, when Sheena, Pandora and Katie were all inside and it was just Kristen and Ariana and Stassi sitting outside, I was like, what was that like? Like, how did that feel? Because that seems very awkward to me.
Oh, when they like go inside to have a talk and like smooth things
over. And like, and I'm just like, those are the three left outside. I'm like, I'd love to see how that broke down.
It's so interesting because like, so Brittany just had a birthday party and they went to Vegas together.
Yeah, they
and
all
I was
went.
Like, okay, so Ariana now goes to Vegas with these girls and like, it's just, I wonder if it's like for the show or if it's being filmed for something. Part of me thinks it is, because like, I don't understand.
Right.
Or maybe it's just like now she's gotten over it and it's just like chill.
I think what we're supposed to buy or understand about these people is that like Tom and Jax are really good friends. So like anytime a significant other is friends with the other person, you're going to just like eat shit and go along anyway and just try and be a good person. And Ariana's pretty chill. Like I could, she and Stassi did like a Snapchat.
Yeah.
Which I saw and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And like, they seem to have like their bit was like kind of playful. So I think they can like tolerate each other, but
they
I don't
ham it up.
Yeah.
For
a 10 second snap. Yeah. But like, It is definitely interesting. I mean, there's obviously just a shit ton of alcohol involved, which I think will get anyone through anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
If there's one standard thing in the mix, it's booze.
And by the way, does the appearance of that sangria just give you a hangover? Like the mere
I had
color.
A sugar headache and I was triggered. And I had like an immediate sense memory to an episode of Pumped where we tried a bottle and I think I ended up drinking like 3/4 of the bottle to myself. And I was just like, I could immediately taste what it tasted like, which be like, for me, it's a bad sign. I didn't like it.
No, it's like needing cardio.
But it might be like a good sign that it's such a powerful taste for people.
I don't
people.
Really think of that. I don't really think that's what you're going for with a liquor brand, you know, like
for a sangria I want something like very like light and tasty that then I mix a lot of fruit into that doesn't feel like,
when you think of sangria you want to think about the afternoon. You don't want to think about the taste like in a way that you would like the way someone starts talking about Coke and you can just feel the last time you did Coke in your face. Like you're just like, oh shit, like
wait, okay.
Should we get Coke right now?
The entire the whole like party that happened at Pandora's house was really dark to me because it began with her giving all these other women a tour of her like
beautiful home that
and she's
Lisa
like, come along now, come along. And like, there's just like
her accent's going in and out.
And she's just like breezing through the house, like as if like, she's like, this is the gym. Come on, Stassi, come on. And it's just like, let Stassi take in the gym. Okay. She lives in a shitty one bedroom in West Hollywood.
All of them live in like the shittiest apartments of all time. And you're like, I turned 30 and then my mom got this for me. So do you want to see the pool? And it's like, it gave me full body chills in a bad way where I just kind of felt bad for them. I was like, the producers have to know, like, sometimes they put them through really painful experiences just to kind of be like, I'm sure this cast makes their lives hell. And I think the producers then get like some sick pleasure out of being like, well, fuck you. Now you get to look at Pandora's mansion in Beverly Hills that her mom bought her and yeah, think about how you may never have this for yeah, yourself.
They have to figure out subtle ways to say fuck you to them, because I did see some interview with one of the producers on Grantland, like back before they canceled The Right Reasons. And he was saying that, like, with Miami Girl, for example, like, they had to so carefully, like, load her in, because, like, the trust with the cast is, like, comes before everything. Like, that is everything. So it's like they have to figure out the most subtle ways to be troll, like, fuck you. Yeah. And like, they always manage.
And that Pandora house tour was the ultimate fuck you of this episode.
No, especially because like I bought a house by my own fucking damn self, and like I just was looking at like the wood and I was looking at everything, and I was just thinking like, I tried my best and I'm still like never gonna get there. Like, I tried my best. Like, I don't know what I will never, I mean, not that I want to be like Pandora, but like, I definitely would like my house to be that chic.
Well, yeah, I mean, for me as a viewer too, it's like, it's one of those things where I think you can get easily triggered by just like, oh, I got a house from my parents, because when you live in LA for a long time, yes, the thought of buying a house to me currently feels like, this is something I'm never going to do, and something I'm kind of like okay with, because I actually really love my apartment and so it's chill.
No, your apartment is like as big as my house as well.
Thank you. I'm glad the listeners know that too. That's yeah, like why I brought this up. No, but like, it's one of those things where you're just like, it may not be in my life journey to like own property in Los Angeles, and like, because it's okay, tough, and that's okay. Yeah. And so to see like Pandora doing this, I was just like, oh my God, like, if it hurts me, I cannot imagine how much it like hurts Stassi.
Stassi's father is fucking ridic wealthy.
Really?
Like, I saw like this dream house that he built himself in New Orleans, and granted it's New Orleans, but like, if you were to take that exact house and drop it literally anywhere in LA, it's easily like $2.5 million. Like, he built a really beautiful mid-century modern home that has like sculptures in the yard. Like, you know, when someone's got sculptures in the yard,
a sculpture like, game is indicative
you're
of
fucking very wealthy. Mm-hmm. No, my stepdad's like fairly wealthy, and for my 30th birthday, my mom was like, what, we want to get you something landmark for your 30th birthday. Like, do you want a Chanel purse? Like, do you want diamond earrings? And I was like, I would like a trip to Europe. That's what I got for my 30th birthday. That's me being the most spoiled they've ever spoiled me. They've never helped me. They never paid my cell phone bill, nothing. That was the most spoiled I've ever been for my 30th birthday. Pandora got a fucking Beverly Hills house. Like,
yeah, that's real estate. You're in a different game when your parents are buying you real estate. And I've known a fair amount of people whose like parents buy them a starter house or whatever.
Right.
And
Naomi from Southern Charm.
My dear friend Naomi. Yeah. She's my parents are in France, and I get just to stay here with my boyfriend. But like, it's like you're in a whole other playing field, yeah, when like there's real estate involved, especially like LA real estate. Serious. So that was like a fuck you to everyone, and Pandora wins at the end of the day.
Yeah Hammerhead shark.
Why do you call her Hammerhead shark?
She looks like a hammerhead shark. I've always been open about that. That's literally, if Pandora walked up to me and said, I heard you call me a hammerhead shark, I'd be like, yeah. You can take that though, Pandora. Like, go cry on your $20 million pillow. Like, who cares? Like, go have your hot husband fuck you in your, like, bajillion-dollar bed. Like, who
cares? Also, he got hair implants.
He did have a little something, didn't he?
He did, because I remember he was always balding, like, when they got married on Real Housewives, and I was just like, ooh, things are looking grim for him and his hairline.
He's very Prince William.
And now, it's all back. It showed, like, a photo of them together, mm-hmm. and his hair was back, and I was like, he got the hair surgery between there. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to live in a house in Beverly Hills, you also should have someone give you hair surgery.
Do you think Ken's all natural, baby? Do you think that's his mop?
It looks pretty thick and lustrous and natural.
Yeah.
But you never know. We need to talk about Joe Simpson.
Okay, this is amazing.
It was too much for my soul to, like, have him involved. And it also just speaks to where we are as, like, a nation, where we are in, like, pop culture, and, like, where Vanderpump Rules is
how
as, like, a show.
How far we've fallen in 10 years. Yeah. Like, Joe Simpson, literally, first of all, I think is dying of cancer. Which is not funny.
Is he?
I think he has, like, really bad cancer or something.
Oh, that's sad.
It is really sad. But then it's even darker when you think about the fact that, like, Joe Simpson has obviously always been closeted.
He's closeted, but now he's kind of outish. Like, doesn't he have a boyfriend?
I think so.
He's, like, on the scene a little bit.
Yeah, he has, like, a young boyfriend. Because he's, like, it's a bachelor pad, so make yourself at home.
Yeah. Welcome to my art space.
Welcome to my art space. And then... all right, my man, welcome to my art space. And then he goes, well, girls, you know, it's all about tits, blah, blah. With us, it's about stomach in, dick out. And it's like, Joe.
I was like, Joe, are you drunk?
Well, probably. Tom rolled up with a 12-pack of Coors.
Joe was a little bit tipsy in this scene.
Also, like, is that...
Girls, they got boobs and all kinds of other stuff. Stomach in, dick out.
Well, that's especially because I know he's thinking boobs because of his own daughter, which is what's upsetting to me.
The whole thing was just, like, really strange. And then, because I remember when Sandoval posted those on Instagram, because mm-hmm. I commented stunning underneath one, and then someone screenshotted, like, the comment and sent it back to me and was like, are you for fucking real? And I was like, I am for real. I thought they were stunning. And
no,
then,
he showed me those pictures at a bar, and, like, he was like, look at these new pics I had taken. And I was like, wow. I was like, Tom, you're really grown. I was like, I really see, like, a second wind coming for you.
Yeah, I, like, truly thought that. And I was like, I'm going to speak to that. I will support anyone on social media or just in general if I think that they're on the right
game
path.
Game recognized game.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And so, like, I think then we noticed that they were, like, tagging Joe Simpson in the caption. We were like, oh, my God, he's working with, like, Joe Simpson. Like, this is, like, mm-hmm. the Joe Simpson.
Who's, like, I had no idea had, transitioned into photographing male models in his home.
I think he dates a young gay male model. So that's why.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, really weird, really interesting shoot for Tom, I thought. I'm kind of wearing a poncho loosely inspired by Tom's outfit. I love what he's doing with his hair in a way that, I mean, that he's committed.
I love what Tom's doing just as, like, an actor and a model, like, getting back to those roots.
Right.
Like, I feel like he's kind of come around full circle. Like, we saw him through, was it Pierce the Arrow. And then his other band, Charles McMansion, which I'm actually wearing a Charles McMansion shirt right now.
I'm jealous you got your mitts on one of those.
We've seen him through his whole music career, and now it's come around to what he truly is passionate about, and I think what he should be doing, which is modeling and acting.
I think so too.
I think that's his calling.
I think so too. I think that he had a little bit, I think that I'm going to blame the dialogue in Peter's film as a reason why he had a hard time getting through that scene. Yeah. It was tough dialogue.
It was tough, and it's also being shot on a roof in direct sunlight against, like,
a
green screen.
And I'm pretty sure he was V hungover.
Yeah.
Which, like, literally, that is the ultimate. That is the kind of favor your friends ask of you in LA, which is like, please drive out hungover, camera ready, put on this black shawl, and then recite this ridiculous dialogue that's not connected to any world you've ever lived in. Like, yes, Commander, the pods are coming. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
And then when I was just, like, watching that scene, I was like, this is going to look like shit. I'm so embarrassed for everyone. And then they showed a clip of it, and Sandoval actually looked amazing and, like, delivered the lines in a very believable way.
Yeah.
And I was like, I played myself thinking that.
Yeah.
Because this is an actor. This is a model. This is Sandoval.
And this is a film. Yeah. But wait, can we go back really, really quickly to, like, something that really shook me, which was when Tom was talking to Tom at the modeling shoot, and Schwartz says to him, look, I'm like team Katie for the next month. I mean, like, hopefully my life, but like all, for the next month, definitely. Yeah. And it's like, whoa. Cause like when he called her a bitch during the paint samples thing, which I do want to talk about this, the dynamic with them in general.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel for Katie that like, I think that she has been low key humiliated and abused for years by Schwartz on this show.
Really?
Despite the Schwartz is the nicest guy in the world, but I think that he has not been able, he's been here nor there with the commitment for years. And now he's like, yeah, like I'm going to marry you. But this is like are over a year after she's given him an ultimatum. This is like 5 years of dating. The dude still doesn't have a job. The dude still is like modeling, like only getting closer to 40. Like if they want to have a kid, how can you support a family off of occasional modeling jobs and your wife's waitressing salary?
What's hard for me about this show is that I forget what happens in past seasons because I'm like so wrapped up in like the drama of now. And then I remember when you say that about his like commitment stuff, it jogs my memory and I'm like, oh my God, yeah, he's like been like a total slacker and has done all this shit to her. That being said, I'm of the mind that like if a guy is like giving you the signals that he's maybe not super down for commitment or he's not ready for something serious, you need to listen to that and then like take that as that is his truth and his journey and then either decide if you're comfortable with that and want to remain in a relationship with that person or if you're not comfortable with that, you break up and go find someone who is willing to commit and give you the ring.
I agree with you. The onus definitely would have been on Katie to deal with this like in terms of the breakup, especially after she gave him the ultimatum, which I think one would admit that's not an ideal situation to have to be in the first place where you're saying like...
The ring on a string, like was that post ring on the string
it
ultimatum
was like ring was on like, the string happened and then I think it was like in the finale Katie was like they were sitting on the banquette outside at like Sheena's at some sort of party and she was like
the ring on a string triggered then the ultimatum discussion where yeah. It was like you have 6 months or
and
something.
Then at the reunion it had been 6 months, there was no ring and Katie had to sit there and eat crow and be like, yeah, I mean, I know. And like Lisa's been giving Katie the business for a few years now with like, you know, if Schwartzy doesn't figure it out, like you're going to have to make a move. And I've been in relationships where you're like, yeah, but I've already put in all this time. And that's why I think Tequila Katie comes out. I have definitely had a Tequila Katie moment when I've been in a really, really fucking bad relationship. And I felt like I've already put all this time and energy into it. And so all I have to do is make it work. And won't this guy just fucking keep it together for 5 minutes so I don't have to ream him? And it's like, I think that she has a lot of built up resentment and anger, but also suffers from that common fear that a lot of women do, which is like, I've already put all this time into this. When am I going to get a chance to have another 5 years with a guy and have him hopefully be my soulmate? I think she's like suffering from like, I bought into this soulmate thing a while ago, like buyer's remorse, except with soulmates, which is...
It sucks that that's a way that our society is that like tells women that like your time is up once you've reached like your mid-30s or like your early 30s, because I don't subscribe to that and do not think that that's true. And that's like a categorical lie. But I think for this group, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I think that it's like a lot of her identity is wrapped up in this relationship. And her friendships and her life is wrapped up in this relationship. So in order to extract herself from it and like forge a new path, it means having to like dismantle everything she knows to be true and like starting over, which a lot of the time it's just easier to keep going on the path that you're already on.
Yeah, I mean,
the path of least resistance or the path of just like verbally abusing your boyfriend until he's like literal like pulp on the ground.
I see. I don't know. I feel for Katie because I think that now she's finally, this is obviously the season. She knows this is the season where she's going to be heard more than she's ever been heard in the history of the show because she's the bride. The show's like all about her, the way that Sheena's season with her wedding was about Sheena. And I think that Katie has been put in the corner so many times throughout the years, whether it be, you know, Schwartz cheating on her and like, you know, finally telling her once Jack threatened to reveal the information to her, like Stassi basically like you know, gaslighting her for like a really long time. And we don't know. A lot of these people are fighting about things that we've never seen too. And that's definitely the undertone of a lot of these conversations. So like, I think that Katie's definitely being a monster this season from what we can see on camera. And I'm not like defending her actions, but I think that we've seen Katie be put in the corner a lot over the years, and she's trying to take it back now.
But the way she takes ownership of her voice and the way she becomes empowered is just through anger, and it's like trying to control with anger, and that is so, it's very misguided, and it doesn't work. It's not an effective way of communicating, and it's not an effective way of getting what you want ultimately.
And the problem with this group is that they all kind of have the same problem, so like no one's gonna call out when Stassi said, like, you know, so she got drunk and like screamed at her boyfriend and said a bunch of rude shit. That's what we all do. And it's like
no, I mean, like, I don't do that. I know a lot of people, other people that don't do that. Like,
that's what people in unhealthy relationships do when they can't speak about things with sober minds. And so then when they're drunk, they fucking go off the rails about something that happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but like, normally you're just like kind of constantly communicating with the person you're in a relationship with, and you're like, you try your best to just be on the same page or at least near each other's pages at all time. And if you're getting off the page, you like have a little regroup moment where you're like, hey, I want to talk about this page I'm on. Like, what page are you on? Like, can we get in the same chapter and like in the same vicinity of pages in this book called our relationship?
It's hard to watch because like then you see a small, quote unquote, small victory, like Tom suggesting the prenup, and he's just like, oh, thanks for being logical about this, which just like goes to show me like how few conversations they actually have in real life, like how if that is like a huge bridge for them to cross when it seems like it should just be like one of the many difficult conversations people have going into something like a lifelong commitment. That was so hard for him.
I know, but it's like, I don't think any of the people on the show really have any sort of emotional intelligence whatsoever. So like, I think, and I'm like, okay, then what the fuck are they talking about? Like when they hang out all the time, like they live together. Like, aren't you kind of constantly like on a check-in basis with the person? Like, I feel like in my relationships and friendships and stuff, like I'm pretty checking in with people and making sure I'm like, okay, I think that we're like, we both have an understanding of what's going on, or maybe I'm acting like weird, but I know that, and like, I want to address it later or apologize for it. And like, I don't think that these people, the cast of Vanderpump Rules, has any self-awareness of like their actions and behaviors towards each other. And like, they have no self-awareness of like the way the world even sees them and interprets
their actions. It was super strange to see Kristen come for Stassi on Twitter over Stassi saying that she liked Melania Trump's inauguration outfit.
I have that screenshotted and saved on my desktop of the computer because I was like, wait a second, like, what is this? But like, that's why I'm also just like, I can't with these Vandos. I would love them actually to have like a news show about like political happenings where they have to like deeply engage in like political discussions with each other. Andy Cohen should consider just like making the reunion episodes about that.
That's actually they did the debates, which I thought were really interesting, like on the Watch What Happens Live debates. But like, that's actually a very good idea, is to have like the Southern Charm people and the Vanderpump Rules people. I need to know what those Summer House kids think. Were they with her? I do think that most of the cast was probably with her, except for, I would say, Stassi and maybe Sheena, because Sheena's from OC, and it seems like she could...
Brittany, too, though, comes from, like,
too,
that
but yeah.
Very religious, like, Southern Baptist background is, like, they're all Trump supporters.
Jack said it again this week. Now, there's this, like, thing going around online where people on the cast are defending Brittany and her mom, saying they're actually, quote, huge LGBT supporters. And it's, like, Jack said it's always, whenever, like, there's some sort of like bisexual comment or something about guys or anything homoerotic, Brittany like completely side eyes him. And I'm like, why are we hearing about this again this week? Like, I thought we could just have the last two episodes with the homophobia, but do we have to have it on this one too?
I do not understand her like not understanding Jax. Like, you can Google anyone that you date, but with this person, you can literally watch like 48 hours of footage of this person's life
I'm like drooling right now because I'm like brain damaged by the fact that Brittany like doesn't understand.
I would think they'd be more upset about the pro-life aspect of it, where I was like, this man had been the cause of multiple abortions, which is a woman's choice. But I would think that they would absolutely take way more umbrage with the fact that Jax could potentially be the father to multiple children right now.
No, it's the gay. The gay stuff kills. And they're like, have a big, or at least her mom does have a big, big problem with being gay.
Because the women who got the abortions, they were just whores, yeah. You know? So it's like really more just about that Jax is gay.
Crazy. Like also that church really triggered me because I was like, what fucking street corner is this on? It's like in the middle of nowhere.
I literally wrote, Jax and Brittany in church is bringing back Laura Lee outside of AA vibes. Not sure that this is a real service. Like, I don't think that's a real church. There were 10 people
in that church service,
too. It looked like an AA spillover meeting. Like, the people that were there, I'm like, that is like a weird 35-year-old man with, like, partially grown in facial hair. Like, why is he at this mass?
The church service definitely happened on, like, a Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They can't actually go in and film in a real church service, like, on a Sunday. It's just too much. So that's, like, this show is always doing that. Like, they made Katie and Schwartz got married on, like, a Wednesday afternoon or something. Like, it's doing, like, off-brand shit like that.
Yeah, which, like, by the way, I thought was about the discount, but then I realized, no, it's literally about the shooting schedule. Because getting married on a Wednesday is, like, that's what poor people do.
I mean, like, when we went to Ariana's birthday party, which was also on, like, a weekday
afternoon. It was on, like, a Tuesday morning at 11.
Yeah, it was not on, like, a conducive to, like, a party weekend schedule. It was, like, I had to ask off of work that day and be, like, I'm going to Ariana's birthday party. Which may be the reason I don't have a job right now. Who knows? I've sacrificed a lot for Vanderpump Rules is the bottom
line. Let's get this girl some ads.
But also, church in LA, period, is like a very dark journey.
It's specifically those types of churches that look like it's in a half church, half rec room.
Halfway house.
There might be like a 2-liter bottle of ginger ale open like in a corner somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like a mishmash room.
Yeah, it was like in a weird part of town. Like, it was just not the journey.
I'm not looking forward to this spinoff because the tape that we saw of Jax, like, trying to, like, deal with a pig or whatever it was, that it just, to me, I was like, I don't want to see The Simple Life starring Brittany and Jax.
Yeah.
I do not want to watch Jax try to manage Brittany's family.
No.
And, like, you know, like, Jax, you got to scoop the manure. Like, no, I don't want to do that.
And yeah, no, like, I don't care about that. And I've never in my life thought until just right now when you said that it might be that. And then I'm furious because, like, I just want to see them, like, living in their apartment building and, like, interacting in their world in LA, but just, like, they're the central version, and then you, like, see the other characters, kind of like Friends.
It's going to be, like, I'm going to give you what I think the pitch is. It's going to be, like, they go back for, like, a couple months, like, probably during the summer, and they go on this extended vacation, and the whole thing is Jax going to propose to Brittany? Because the mom has done a nice job teeing up there's an expectation. The church is an expectation. The marriage is an expectation. The heat is on. And I really think that Jax will propose to her for this show.
Oh my God.
That's probably already a promise that's been made.
I'm depressed now.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that to you. But
no,
I really...
this is actually like her painful.
Like, what did you think it was going to... What did you think
I don't know.
I just didn't think about it.
I didn't think about it. I was like, well, they live in that apartment building with Katie and Tom. So it's going to be like two sad sack couples living together who hate...
BT Dub. I know the person who redid their apartment and made the Bubba's thing. Yeah.
It's a girl named
Mr. Kate. She's actually really, 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 really sweet. And she has a lot of great ideas, but there's this video that they did where they're like kind of like renovating Tom and Katie's thing. And it's an actual like mini episode. It's about 11 minutes long and it's on YouTube and you can look up the remake of Tom and Katie's apartment. And the art above the thing is that Tom had printed out and framed just like a piece of computer paper in like an $8.99 frame from Walgreens, like the how Katie's nickname came to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it started like Katie, Kate, Bubba, Rub, Bubs, something, blah blah blah. So like, and then that's exactly what you read there is what was.
Then she interpreted it into an art piece.
No, she just wrote it. she wrote the list from the computer printer piece thing onto this canvas. And like even her own boyfriend, Mr. Kate does this thing with her husband, was like, it's good. Like she was done. Like he was like kind of like roasting it a little bit, but like there was there's string art that I don't think we've seen on TV, but there's also a whole string art wall.
Is it in their bedroom?
It's on the opposite side of the Bubba thing. It's above the kitchen dining room table.
They just like live in a hoarder's den.
Is it?
It looks like that to me from TV. I've never been set foot into their apartment, but from what I've seen on TV, it's just like they don't understand what like home furnishings are and like what to do with things. Like,
right.
The other shots that we've seen of their apartment just from the show, it just seems like there's like shit everywhere. And then they have that like little friends like door frame thing that's like off set, like not centered around the actual peephole. It's like just off to the side.
Yeah.
And it just, I'm like, they don't understand. It's just interesting too right now, because like obviously everyone's kind of coming into a bit of money on the show, and so like they're able to upgrade their living situations, but even when they're able to do that, the outcome is not great.
Stassi's done a pretty good job with her
Stassi
place.
Stassi does a nice job. She's like really into like cream and gold colors, and then like a lot of like fur and textured elements. The way like Jax and Brittany decorated their apartment, which I'm actually obsessed with, because it's like Tiffany blue, but then Cape Cod themed, like by the seashore, but they are like in K-Town.
I know. It's like, and that's how you know she's a Kentucky girl, because she's like, we're by the ocean, y'all. And it's like, no, you're 40 minutes away.
She's
from
like,
the
LA
ocean.
Now it's sea time, let's go to the beach.
And like that is not Malibu, like sea. That's not even Manhattan Beach. That's like, that is Home Goods version of the ocean.
Yeah,
like that's, it's really precious what they've managed to do with that space.
I'm excited to see what their like new apartment looks like. And I think also, they moved in this weekend.
I'm obsessed that they named that dog Kingsley, because I feel like that dog, I mean, Kingsley is such a
Kingsley
famous dog.
Kingsley is a very
name.
Loaded name for a dog on a Bravo reality show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Okay, are we talking about Stassi's mom's hysterectomy yet?
We haven't spoken of it, but we should talk about it.
Well, I just want to talk about how delicious the meal Stassi made her mom looked, which was a piece of toast with salami on it. Yes, please. A piece of toast with what looked like peanut butter, mushed up raspberries. Yes, please. And then a fucking ice cream scoop of cookie dough. Like, if I had a hysterectomy, that's exactly. I want that right now. Like, I will. You can have my uterus if I can have that meal. Like, that's fine. I wasn't going to do anything with it anyway.
I'm bring glad
cookie dough.
That did a lot for you. Like, and like ignited your culinary. Like,
I don't think enough people noticed the salami.
I noticed the salami and I had a visceral reaction to it where I like shuddered and like had like a mini seizure.
You know, Dana's on some good painkillers, probably still kicking back the champagne.
Yeah, it looked like they were very much drinking. Stassi started out with like a mimosa and then like stress sad drank a Modelo. Like after she had a breakdown in front of her little brother where she kind of like projected her issues onto him. Like
Nikolai is the most emotionally stable person on this show.
Like in like out of probably their greater friend group that stretches out to maybe hundreds of people, Nikolai, yeah, like Nikolai has it just, yeah. He's got it figured out. But the best was he's like being very even keeled and just saying like, you know, I like you've been through a lot, but this guy doesn't have anyone.
Patrick
and, like,
is
you're
alone
lucky.
Right now.
Yeah.
And he has nobody helping him. I want to talk to him.
That's and I think also he's kind of saying like, look at you in your life. Like you're lucky to be surrounded by friends and family. And then Stassi does one of my favorite things is where you like get triggered. So you kind of turn it on someone. And you're like, I just need you to like be supportive. Okay. Like I need you right now. And like gets upset by that instead right. of being like listening to what he's saying and being like, thank you. Like, you're right. Like,
thank you, 11-year-old brother. Like,
and then he has to like comfort her. And I'm just like, Nikolai needs his own show. That's like a spinoff where he just tells it like it is. He could be like the new Oprah essentially.
Or we just need to, like, leave Nikolai alone. Like, I'm, like, here where it's, like, you either bring your brother on and he gets to be a child or we don't see your brother. But, like, there is no scene where your brother, your child brother is forced to comfort you while you weep about your breakup. And, like, with all due, like, I understand. I'm sure I probably have said inappropriate things in front of my brothers and sisters over the years myself, but...
You haven't brought them on a reality show to like coach you through your tough times.
No.
Yeah. Wait, I really need to talk about James and Raquel going out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, what I don't understand about this show and what happens a lot is that someone will cheat or like an indiscretion will happen and it will be caught on camera and like there's definitive proof that exists of someone's like actions.
Right.
And then they get confronted about it and then they deny it and then it's just like, fine.
I mean, the thing that I thought was interesting was he tried to be like, you know, that was back in my drinking days. There were so many whiskeys and old fashions. Who knew what happened in my house? And it's like,
that was 3 weeks ago.
I know. And also, like, do you really think that like this woman is going to like so desperate, because who wouldn't want to just be caught in bed with James Kennedy? So desperate that she's going to come into your bed, lay down next to you while you're sleeping, take several pictures of herself, which is an odd thing to do to begin with, but you're probably doing that knowing that it's going to be interesting fodder to get you on television.
Yeah.
But it's like, you expect Raquel, and she did buy. Like, did you expect Raquel to buy that, like, this woman just randomly did this for her own health? Like, hopped into bed with you, took some pics, and she was like, I mean, I guess it's possible, but, like, what if you're cheating on me? Like, it was just so weird.
She, again, it's like, you could watch the last season of this show and, like, see who this person is, like, yeah, very, very clearly. So I guess you maybe didn't do that, or you're just, like, living in denial or living in a fantasy land of your own making, but, like, something isn't adding up. And then I'm also like, okay, why the fuck would anyone lie about sleeping with James? There's right. no reason for anyone to do that.
Right. And also, it doesn't seem like something that would be particularly hard. Like, the more, like, I was disappointed in Sandoval for, like, telling Gigi she was thirsty. I was disappointed in him for engaging in that sort of dialogue.
I felt like he was very slut-shamey in that, yeah, like, in the confrontation scene where he, like, talk shit to her and Ellie, because it's like, I mean, their motivations are pretty unclear. Also, just, like, they want to get on TV and, like, stir shit up, but they're not that great at doing it. So in that sense, like, they are thirsty. But, like, I also, I don't know. I took issue with them being, like, everyone being, like, Eskimo sisters, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that's kind of, like, a disrespectful term to call them.
Totally.
That.
And, like, also, like, I love TNA, but I do not understand their allegiance to James. Like, they're smart enough and also politically woke enough that they have to know that, like, spitting on a woman that you've just dated, or, like, when James, like, licked his hand and then wiped it down Gigi's face, like,
it's gross.
That's physical assault. And, like, and additionally, just, like, the wording that's being used, like, I know they're smarter than to, if they're so sensitive to, like, Jack saying transvestite instead of transgender, being like, no, dude, that's not cool. Like, Tom has been so consistent about calling Jax out for, like, using wrong terminology or whatever. But for some reason, there was always a blind side, whether it be with the Witches of WeHo or anything involving what comes out of James Kennedy's mouth. There's always this blind spot for the way that people speak to and treat women on this show. Always, oh, yeah, a blind spot.
Always.
And it's like the one consistent thing. It just drives me nuts. Like, it's like the more, like, aware they get of other things, the more this thing seems to get. I'm like, oh, finally Tom and Ariana are saying, like, things that are relevant to the world on this show in some capacity.
Yeah, but this show also, like, really capitalizes off of, like, a narrative that it's like, who's being a whore? Like, who can we, like, call a whore? Who can we turn on? And also, like, it's sad because in the world of this show, like, the guys are always having way more fun than, like, the women are. Like,
yeah.
And they are, like, consistently less drama with each other. They look like they're always having a more enjoyable time. If I personally had to choose whatever situation to be in, I would always want to go wherever they're going because it looks to be, like, way more lol.
Totally.
And with, like, the women on this show, it's just nothing but, like, catfights and, like, picking out one person to, like, bully and, like, slut shame and just be, like, they're so hateful to each other all the time.
It does seem like all they do is binge drink and just, like, download information on one another. Like, yeah, that's all. It seems like that's their activity.
The women on the show do not have high self-esteem.
No. Kristen has the highest of all of them.
Kristen, yeah, might. Stassi, TBD. Katie has literally zero self-esteem, which is why she, like, empowers herself through anger and, like, why she feels comfortable lording her wedding over all these people, because she thinks, like, that gives her some sort of, like, currency and mm-hmm. value in this world. And spoiler alert, it doesn't. Everyone fucking gets married. Or yeah, if they're not married, they don't give a shit about getting
exactly.
married. So, like, that is just your own thing. And, like, Ariana, I think, has, like, a fair amount of self-esteem.
And they call her, what do they call her for it? What's the
elitist. They elitist, said she's elitist.
And that she has a superiority complex.
Yeah. Katie said she's an elitist and a stuck-up person. It's like, no, she just has emotional intelligence and is not, like, a petty-ass fucking bitch.
That's
like
what Tom said. He's like, she just doesn't get worked up about shit that she doesn't think is, like, you know, like, and he basically said, like, no, that's not true. And
yeah,
I was proud of him for knowing
the difference. She's not an antagonist. honest.
Exactly. Because there's not a lot of times where they can articulate back, no, this is actually what's going on here. And because
these people don't live in reality. And that's like a big thing I think that ties into like Katie like flipping out at me on Instagram is like, I think that these people on this show, especially the women of this show, have lived in a world now where they get rewarded for acting psychotic to each other. And so like they live in this like consequence-free existence where yeah. instead of like having like the social consequences that come with acting like a monster to people and like you get cut out of social circles or reprimanded, they're rewarded by it with money and like more fame and recognition. Mm-hmm. So when like someone comes along and says, lol, you act like an insane person and you're like controlling and like calls them out for it in like a podcast or otherwise, it blows their minds to get such negative feedback that it becomes like they need to find a way to like shut that down or they like can't handle it. That makes sense
too. But like, okay, so here's a question. Do we think that, because this, you just launched this podcast and I was surprised that like Jack said like that picture. I'm like, oh, okay, so the cast is already coming over to your new project. I kind of felt like that. Now that you say it that way, and I'm thinking just about the way that Katie went through your comments, like, do you feel like she was sent in to do that? Like, do you think that she was tipped off? Like, hey, there's all this shit going on.
My instinct is that it was Friday night. Katie was out getting wasted and had somehow over the course of last week gotten alerted to what all was happening and then had enough drinks to where she felt comfortable like going in really hard and like leaving a series of comments. And it was just classic tequila Katie.
She should have been token Katie that night.
Yeah. She just like proves her own point over and over again. And so it's like, I have empathy on her that it must be hard to hate yourself so much and then have to see yourself on TV like acting like a psycho week to week. But I don't, I'm like, you dig your own grave repeatedly.
And I don't even think we've seen the worst of what's going to happen to Katie this season, because like, just to jump forward really quickly, like, are we okay? So the way that it's like this season on Vanderpump Rules, and then we see Stassi saying to Sheena, there was sexting videos. And then we cut to like Katie being upset. My assumption is that the sexting videos must have been from Tom, right? Tom sent that to someone, but also because of the way that
there were videos from him, like he's sexting someone else.
Videos, yeah, because there is a moment too, a mopey moment where Katie goes, "My fiance's cheating on me." That was another line that was used, but I don't. Maybe she's just talking about the past cheating. Or, I don't know.
These two people should not be getting married.
No.
Like, across like the Lisa, board,
what
no.
is going on here? And it's like, what like, is going on here?
I don't understand. But she loves it because it gives her, like, ratings.
And by the way, I don't think we've seen Katie working as her assistant for, like, 2 weeks now.
No, we saw it last week where they painted
the VIP room.
VIP room. And they that was a VIP room of Sir, right?
Yeah. And
okay, I mistakenly had said that it was Villa Blanca. Yeah, they just, like, slapped paint against the wall.
Around, like, it's like, no, dude, take the mirror off the wall and paint underneath the mirror.
Lisa just made her painter show up, and you can tell he's, like, tortured by them trying to paint because he's just going to have to paint over everything they do.
Right. I think we're like up to the point where Tom and James are ordering their London fogs, right?
Yeah, they go to the American Tea Room. Where the fuck is that?
Literally, I thought about Googling it and I like got bored in the middle of the thought.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Except I was just thinking that London fog sounds like it's probably the only thing on the menu that has alcohol in it.
I thought that, and you know what? I thought until now, oh, they're at a bar like ordering cocktails because that's just like what they do on the show. But right. then I realize, oh, they're at a tea room because James is soba.
Yeah. I do love his ice cream journey though.
I love his sobriety.
So Tom's basically like, gonna be real with you. Like, you probably fucked Gigi. Like,
and then he's like, no, I'm telling you, like, I wouldn't even remember if I did or not. And it's like, okay, well then, but you did.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely fucked Ellie. Like, right. She's in the bed with you March 13th with, like, an 8 a.m. timestamp on the selfie. Like,
for what I just don't, I still am not understanding why then you would want to go public with the knowledge that you like, that you fucked James Kennedy. Like, I would fuck James Kennedy just to tell you in private, be like off the record. Guess just what? Like, guess what? Last weekend I fucked James Kennedy. It was crazy. And then tell you all about it. But then we never actually speak about it publicly.
No.
Like, I would like stunt fuck him, but never, like, never brag fuck him.
No, that's not a brag.
He's now fucked at least.
He fucked Lauren.
Lauren, Lala, Ellie, Gigi. Anyone else in like this? Kristen. Mm-hmm. He's bedded 5 women in the Sir Pump universe.
Who was the girl that was a friend of the.
The redhead.
The redhead.
With what is her Uber. Name? Jenna. Jenna. Jenna.
Yeah. And then I think there was another indiscretion in addition to Jenna. What about Jax? Jax is fucked.
Stassi, Kristen.
Laura Lee.
Laura Lee. Brittany.
The ballerina from season 1.
Which one was she?
Maybe it was season 2. He went on a date with one. And then when Stassi was the champagne queen and had to sit in the glass, she's like, you're fucking disgusting. Don't talk. Like,
yeah.
You just fucked a girl last night. Don't talk to me. James, or she never fucked, he never fucked Lala.
No.
Rachel. I want to see James and Jax tag team Rachel. I'm just going to put that out there.
I feel like she'd be into that.
I think she would not be into it, but as I think that in a brief, if she would consent for just a brief moment, I would like to see that.
Maybe they could do like a porn, like a consensual porn. That would be hot.
Yes, yes.
I'd buy it.
I just want to say.
I'd download the preview link and I'd watch that. Yeah. I don't know actually if I'd buy it, but I would definitely watch
Rachel O'Brien superstar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Inside Rachel O'Brien. So Pandora throws the like spa day for Katie's wedding. And when she brought the food out, I just like also gagged, like, because it was just like a huge bowl of pasta salad and that sangria. And I was like, I can't think of 2 things I'd rather not eat.
I would rather eat that than that fucking Taco Bell tower that I've had nightmares about for weeks.
Okay, wait. Would you rather eat the Taco Bell, you get 3 meal choices.
Okay.
I feel like I know what you're going to say. You get either a Taco Bell tower or you get cookie dough salami toast.
Oh, it's cookie dough salami toast. I don't even know. Need
or
to
know. Pasta salad sangria.
Or Kristen's mango goat cheese balls from her Veggieholic vlog.
Wait, I have not visited Veggieholic in a really long time, and I think we need to go. What?
Someone posts the recipes on our Emotionally Broken Psychos Facebook group, so I checked it out from there.
Okay, I recommend for our listeners to go to Sayonara Restaurant Rage, the post on Veggieholic.com, scroll to the end for a Maya Angelou quote.
Ooh, hell yes. I feel like a bitch, like, busting her on this, because it's hard to put yourself out there and be vulnerable, especially when this is not your area in life that you've chosen to pursue full blown.
It's just interesting. It's like, I think she's writing thing. A book.
Like, it's too sad to make fun of. Yeah. It's like, it's too sad. It's like bad sketch comedy is just too sad to make fun of. Like, I don't want to make fun of some people. I mean, come on, they all got together and they practiced that. I mean, what's sadder than that? Like, you know, good for them. For the only thing sadder than that is literally Carter ordering a pickleback shot. Like
that bar that they went to for their like pre-bachelor party
powwow.
I've been to that bar.
What is it?
I think it's a bar in the Valley.
Okay.
It's like, I can't remember where, but I've been there.
Have you ever had a pickleback?
Yeah, I had one in New York once.
I feel like that's up there with like
I kind of
Jager like, bombs.
Yeah, and like, it's a definite like in your 20s, like something funny and fun to drink one time. Yeah. But then like it's not like a go-to order.
Carter's like 45. Like, guys, pickleback, guys. I'm like, what do you want to like?
Who is Carter?
Literally,
who is Carter, mark. And what does he want?
I don't know. I think he like a bartender at the Hudson or something, and he and Katie fucked once, and then
they did fuck once.
And him matched on Tinder, and she's like, I think that's that guy from the Hudson, because they love the Hudson.
They
love the
Hudson,
which is like,
if you ever want to come to LA and like socialize with a Vanderpump Rules character. You can go to the Hudson any night of the week, probably, and they will be there.
The Hudson's like a train car, oddly situated on the side of like
Crescent Heights and Santa Monica Boulevard.
Isn't it like across from a magazine stand or something? Like it's
kind of in the corner. It has like subpar food. It's like all the food on the menu is like goat cheese ball adjacent. It's a real Vando crowd there. Mm-hmm. So enjoy that hot, sexy tip.
Can I really quickly mention that Jax only wears Givenchy?
Givenchy? What does he call it?
He goes, what is this, Givenchy? And she goes, it's Givenchy, darling. I only wear Givenchy. Like, he literally went right for it.
He loves
like,
it.
Look at you. Also, the use of the word transvestite and the producer being like, he's like, what is it, a transvestite? And the producer obviously like not. He's like, yeah, so I'm dressing like a transvestite. And it's like, damn it, Jax.
His
like,
knowledge of queer culture is like very lacking, but no. He's trying.
Yeah, he walks into it every time. But okay, so Katie's beautiful spa day. When Sheena threw her napkin or whatever, like I was like, damn. But also I was there for Sheena, and that I was like, I think this would have been my breaking point too.
Sheena is trying to just play by the rules and like appease everyone. And I think that is Sheena's problem, is being a people pleaser and like needing to do that. Like that's going to take up a lot of like emotional real estate that you don't necessarily have to give. So maybe like think about your life and your decisions and try to be like just more for yourself.
But Sheena's wishy-washiness is exactly the kind of thing that, like, if I was drunk, it would really upset me, which is why I kind of sympathize when Stassi had that drunken meltdown and was like, stand for something, Sheena. Like, I would think after 5 years of having to deal with Sheena's wishy-washy shit, like...
It would upset you.
I would be so done of, like, someone just always in the room, always around, but completely non-committal. There for the good times. Whenever anything gets rocky or bad, she is, like, giggling with the guys about how annoying or whatever they are. Like the way that she was like, you know, putting everyone on blast to Sandoval that day and being like, do you think Katie's an alcoholic? Like Shay's like on his phone, like not even paying attention. He's so...
Shay's checked out.
Shay's done. He's on Raya. Yeah. Like he's like literally like on Raya, like while this conversation's happening, like swiping right on literally anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I get the wishy-washiness. I just am like, it's Sheena. You know what I mean? Like she's gonna just be like trying really hard. She's never been accepted 100% by this group. So like she's gonna do whatever it takes to try and like fit in. And clearly she came at this party trying to do the right thing and like get Ariana and Stassi to like apologize to each other and like be on good enough terms to go to a bachelorette party to like appease Katie and make Katie feel happy. And then Katie's just like, did everyone apologize or what?
It's like, also if the apology means something to you, like as the bride, stand up for yourself. I know that everyone's supposed to like lay off the bride. I do think Sheena makes it hard for me because at the same time, I'm like, why the fuck, especially after Lisa told you, did you feel compelled to bring the money issue about surrounding the bridal party, which was insane.
That was insane for your friends
to hand over like an $800 bill to you when apparently the background story on that was that Sheena was apparently trying to like freeze her eggs and Shay was like rapidly draining their bank account. So money was a little bit more of an issue for them at that time.
Well, yeah, I don't think that you put up that fight about money if you're not already having like money problems.
Exactly. Especially when like the undertone of this entire show is that like JK, these people, like Katie has no problem affording her $50,000 wedding. Like that's not a problem for them.
Yeah.
Between their salary, their Instagram posts, their bonuses for their shitty parties or whatever it is that they do, like they had no problem paying for that. Katie had her birthday paid. Katie went to Foxwoods for her birthday this year. She probably got like 30 grand for just that. Like they can pay for this fucking wedding.
Yeah.
Cut the shit.
I guess it's just she's not very assertive and she's not saying what she needs. You know what I mean? And that may be the big thing that's bothering me. Where it's like you said, like if it really she needs the apology, like then you need to sit down with these people and say like, I need you guys to be on good terms or this isn't going to work. She has everyone do her bidding for her. She like outsources her dirty work to her fiance or to Sheena. And then she just sits there like, very like negatively or whatever,
which is kind of a new color for her though, because she's never really done that in the past. Like I mean, before Stassi, like she never sent Schwartz in to do her dirty work for her. She never really had dirty work on the show to be done. The Sheena thing, like I know that everyone's supposed to treat the bride like the bride, but it's like, yo, these are your two friends, this is your husband's your fiance's groomsman, Ariana, and this is your actual best friend. Like, get in there yourself.
This is your problem. It's not Sheena's problem.
Exactly.
It's yours, and you won't deal with it, and because you have no spine to actually stand up to people in real life, which is why you can get drunk and like rage out on them on text messenger or like rage out on them on social media, but you can't actually just be like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Like, mm-hmm. this fight you're having isn't cool with me, and it makes me feel uncomfortable, and I don't want to go into like a fun weekend with you guys having tension. So can you guys figure it out and like, let's move on? It's just like, instead of doing that, she just goes about it in other ways, and that kills me.
So real quick, then we have to touch on the final fucking moment of the show where Schwartz and Katie are at like father's office or something, and they're like getting a father's office burger, and like Tom is wearing, which the ultimate sign that I knew that their marriage was not gonna last, is that they did all rose gold. And it's like, I just, when I see rose gold as a wedding ring, I'm like, that's not forever, honey. That's like, that you got that
from. As a wedding band, you're like not in for that?
No, I don't think that your wedding ring should look like it came out of a dish on the counter at LF. Like, I really feel very passionately about that.
I love that.
And I love that he wore it to dinner. Like, he wanted to be like, oh, I'm kind of liking this. And Katie was nervous about him wearing his ring. Quickly, like, the fight escalates and she storms out. And he was like, well, she was drinking today. They never say anything to each other's face. It's like he gets out of the car and she's like, yeah, why don't you tell everyone how your dick doesn't work, or like whatever. And it's just, they're at that point in the relationship now where it's like everything of importance is being said in a terrible way, or it's being said right when the person leaves the room.
Yeah,
which, like, I hate mumbling when I leave the room.
I think it's really rude when she just leaves the scene.
I when he called her a bitch, I would have left.
I don't know,
if your boyfriend called you a bitch, don't you think it's over?
I think that they both say a lot of shit to each other, though.
I know. I just think that bitch is like, once you get to you and your significant other are calling each other names like bitch with intention, like,
I mean, it's not good.
It's name calling is really a bad sign. Like, that's the sign to me. It's like, oh, you, because I've been in relationships where we fought, but it never got like, you're a bitch, like your dick doesn't work. Like, it never got that way.
That kind of stuff you can't like bounce back from, really.
Yeah, or even like say to someone, this is the place I was coming from when I said that.
Yeah.
Like, when you go that off the rails
and
articulate,
you're just trying to cut and hurt people. And true. Like, instead of actually being like, get your point across.
True.
And like, communicate where you're coming from.
Off message.
I'm just like really worried about both of them. And I hope that they have a rock solid prenup.
For all of Tom's student loans and that in their Instagram paychecks for teeth whitening cream.
Maybe like if Katie's so upset about this podcast, she can get her like Crypt Keeper prenup attorney to draft a cease and desist letter. When she's like, I'm tired of looking like an alcoholic, drunk, insubordinate person. It's like, maybe you should stop acting like one.
Also, insubordinate seemed like the wrong word to go along with the rest of that. It's like, you shouldn't be a subordinate person either. You're not like, it's not like being subordinate is the look to go for.
She's like, all my wedding events are tainted by assholes. It's like, maybe that's a sign. And like, maybe the common denominator is you.
I know.
And I'm like, if I was to have a wedding and then every single part of that process was painful and mm-hmm. it, like, fights erupted and it was just nothing but nonstop drama, I'd be like, wow, maybe this is a sign that I like shouldn't be getting married.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. There's been signs all along, and like, my curse with this show is that I have like an elephant's memory for like every fucking scene that's ever happened.
You
and
do.
So like, I'm thinking about all of it. I'm thinking about like the context of like, this is a woman that's had to forgive his cheating multiple times. This is a woman who was accused of motorboating a D. This is someone that got dragged her face through the mud by Stassi for years, just like literally hitched to the back of Stassi's emotional pickup truck and dragged for like miles. Like, she's just like, Katie's really like been through it, and when she wasn't going through it, she didn't have a voice, or she was being Tequila Katie,
yeah,
and like having Tom throw water on her in Mexico. Like, this is a really fucking tumultuous relationship that we've watched play out,
and now this is like her moment to have like a sense of agency, and we're getting to like witness how she deals with it. All right, I'm trying to get like a little more perspective and empathy towards her. Maybe like next season she'll actually be like more with it.
Yeah, I think she's going to be really present through the divorce. I mean, I hope they don't get a divorce, but I just, I mean, if Sheena and Shay can't make it, when Shay was like, I mean, come on, I'm married to like the hottest girl. That was the best quote of all time. I mean, I don't think you and I ever talked about that. Like, oh, when he was like, man, I'm really fucking up this marriage. I mean, Sheena's just so hot. I'm like, that's the number one thing that you're concerned with like your drug addiction and your marriage going down the tubes is that Sheena's so hot and you're not going to do better. You're losing the hottest girl.
He probably won't do better than Sheena. That's real though.
No, but who's Sheena seeing? Because she's been like, she's got like boys all over her.
Sheena's going to have no problem locking down a new man. I feel like Sheena's like Elizabeth Taylor. She's going to get married like 500
times. Absolutely. And I also feel I've realized that about Kim is that like as soon as Kanye is not as hot anymore, like 4 years, like when people are not really feeling Kanye West anymore, she's going to be in and out of there no problem.
You think she'll upgrade?
I honestly think that Kim will live a life of upgrades much like Sheena.
Wow. I like to believe in Kim and Kanye's love as being the ultimate like real deal because I'm just like so I'm emotionally attached to like their relationship in a really intense way. But I can see where you're coming from.
Here's my question. I hope I don't forget it. Okay. So how does Sheena go from like, I mean, what's their trajectory? So like you're fucking Eddie Cibrian, that blows over. Then like you are fucking John Mayer casually while he's living up in Calabasas.
Was she fucking John Mayer before or after Eddie?
I think it was after. If I had to guess.
Sheena's a fucking star.
I know, she's a star. And then she married Shay, which I feel like she must have, because, you know, John Mayer probably like shat on her or something, or like, you know.
John Mayer definitely treated her like shit.
And Sheena was, I guess, fired allegedly from like some cigar bar that she worked at before Sir because she was like getting too friendly with the clientele. And I think that's where she met John. And apparently, according to this article I read, the reason why she like hooking up with him was because he always had chips and beer.
I love that. Yeah. I wonder if he had dip, because if he had chips and dip, then...
then, like, fuck
I'm
yeah.
breaking up with my boyfriend and really going to go
John,
hard.
John?
John? Is this dip? Is this, like, French onion dip? Or, like, I love a seven-layer dip, too.
Yeah, I love that. Come on, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Don't talk about seven-layer dip to me. I'm going to have to go find some friends to hang out with. I, like, show up in my poncho, like, hey, guys.
So, wait, I want to know who you think is going to have, like... legs and a career beyond this show.
I think Stassi will for sure. Mm-hmm. I think that she will continue to, because she is a good talking head and she is striking. And I think that she does very well in her podcast for a reason. It's people want to hear what she has to say. And so like I could see her falling into some sort of like e-hosting gig. I could also see her, I think that she is the most behind the scenes shit. And they're all in these pretty airtight contracts. I could see her being the one that writes the tell-all.
Oh, okay.
That ends all tell-alls. Because she, like, fully hates Lisa, I think. Like, if one can imagine. I mean, also, you know, Lisa just, like, goes after Stassi and Kristen, like, needlessly. Like, when Sheena and Pandora were getting the sangria, she's like, oh, well, if Stassi and Kristen are going to be there, it's like, well, Katie's going to be there too. And so's your hammerhead shark daughter and Sheena and Ariana, who can't get along with anyone. So, but thanks for like having Stassi and Kristen at the tip of your tongue, Lisa. Like she, so Stassi
well, I think
must
if you wrong Lisa, if you end up on the wrong side of her, you're there forever.
Yeah.
You're done.
Am I shark shaming her? Like, am I going to get in trouble for shark shaming?
You might.
I mean,
sharks are endangered species. How fucking dare you?
How fucking dare you? But I mean, I'm sorry. Then just like look less like a hammerhead. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Now every time. Now I
Do
need
you
to rewatch.
See what I mean?
I kind of see what you mean.
It's like.
And like she like looks like kind of an animated like a Finding Nemo.
Exactly. Like she's
not
the
like a literal interpretation, but like a cartoonish interpretation.
Like the way that Dory kind of looks like Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
She could play in the universe of Finding Nemo a hammerhead shark.
That's good. Like a British
hammerhead
with like a really nice house that its hammerhead mom bought it
for its hammerhead 30th.
What would Lisa be?
A palm. Her, okay, can I just say
a palm? Like
a Pomeranian.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, oh. I thought you were saying, like, the fist of a human hand. And I was like, I'm like, her face does look a little bit like a human palm. That's so weird.
Okay, I'm worried about Jiggy. I think Jiggy's on his last legs.
Jiggy's passed away several months ago, and that's what that other dog is doing.
Harrison.
There. Yeah, Harrison's there.
Low key
just
taking over the spotlight.
Yeah.
But I really love, like, Harrison is just like, a dumb animal that she can like prop up when she puts him on the countertop, like his two arms, as though he's listening intently to yeah. what Sheena and Pandora are saying.
So
and, like, really
I went to
that.
Pump and I don't know how this happened. Have I told you this? So I went to Pump. I don't know how this happened, but my friend that I was with is like a famous person. So I think that's how it happened. But at the table next to us was Lisa Vanderpump, Meredith Vieira, Ken, Lance Bass's boyfriend, and then Jiggy and Lance's dog propped up at the tables like humans. It was like and then like Meredith Vieira left and Lance came back and was like, don't you like her? And Lisa's like, she was lovely. And I'm like, I love that like Lance Bass took
Meredith
to like into Pump and was like, she loves you. You have to meet Meredith Vieira. Like
Meredith is a real game changer.
Yeah. Cause she's like an interesting person, a political person. Like she's respected.
She's a woman of the media.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. Have you ever met Lisa?
Well, so at one point during the meal, I'm like a little wasted and I turn around because I have to go to the bathroom and I'm passing the table. And as I pass the table, I like hold my hand out for Jiggy to sniff because it's like a really quick passing by. And there's a waiter standing there. So like I hold my hand out. Lisa grabs Jiggy and goes, naughty boy, and pulls. And I was like, Lisa, I didn't even smell my hand. I wasn't like finger banging your dog. Like, what do you, I mean, but like, she probably would think that, but like,
she's just protective.
So
him,
that was
I'm
my
sure.
only interaction with Lisa Vanderpump was having Jiggy snatched away from me and her going, naughty boy, because he smelled the hand of my peasant hands.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have interacted with Jiggy twice.
Oh my God.
And Ken twice, but I've never had an interaction with Lisa.
Ken and I made eye contact twice and then I couldn't tell if it was me or just Ken. But like, first of all, I'm terrified of Ken, just like James. Like if I was in trouble,
Ken will fucking shank your ass.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be like, you'll get a call. Like you would be dining at Pump and like a waiter would come over and be like, oh, you have a phone call, or like, oh, someone needs you in the back. And like they would lead you back there and you'd be like, but what are you talking about? Like a phone call, like I have a cell phone. They're like, no, just come with us. Like we want to give you something. And then they'd lead you to the back alley and Ken would be back there and he'd just be like, I told you to take your fucking paws off my wife. And then like just shank you, like stab you really quickly in succession before you even know that you're dying. And then the last thing you see is like the stars lightly flickering in the sky as you bleed out in the alleyway of Sir.
Absolutely. And by the way, that man does have a kill under his belt. Like I have no question that he has killed someone. Like if not personally, he's ordered a hit.
Yeah, for sure.
Because someone like fucked with one of his businesses or something. Like, you know, he killed someone over Shadow Lounge or something.
And if you say anything bad about Lisa, you need to like hire a security detail because Ken is not fucking around. Also, oh God. I wish for all of the women that listen to this show that they find, if they are wanting to find a man, or just, I hope that they find a partner who is as there for them as Ken Todd is for Lisa Vanderpump.
Which makes me wonder what Lisa, like, does she have a platinum pussy? Like, were all of his businesses close to bankruptcy and then she turned it all around? Like, you don't just, like... That's not just like loyalty that grows out of like raising children together or something.
That's not like, just loyalty from having like good sex either.
No,
that's loyalty from being like, I'm fucking obsessed with this person, but it goes even deeper than obsession. It goes into like,
no, it's like T.I. and Tiny. Like when Tiny took the hit and said that she had the ecstasy and she went to jail for it. Like, I really think that Lisa has like smuggled heroin in her ass or something for Ken, like, or something like that. Like, it's like, that's some ride or die chick stuff that you have to earn by being like, if I have to suck this man's dick to get us out of this situation, I will. Like, that's really like some shit right there.
Yeah.
I really think that they're like, you know, in the 70s in London, who knows what happened?
No, pre-AIDS, things got crazy.
Oh my God. Pre-AIDS, pre all of it.
I want them to write a tell-all book about their relationship.
That's the thing, is that they have slid by on telling nothing mm-hmm. about their relationship. Like the whole,
and it's so Lisa, shady.
Oh, so shady. And like, that's why I've never really loved Lisa on Beverly Hills, especially she's really just shown her hand as the person who like keeps it off of her. Like, we all ignore the fact that her hammerhead shark daughter, like, we never heard about that on the show, the house. We never heard about that. That should have been on the show.
Yeah.
Max, like, God knows what's going on with Max. Like, who Max wants a 28-year-old son? Max is like on painkillers. Like, thank you. Like, he's a pillhead or something.
Yeah. Max has like drug problems, I'm pretty sure. It's not really adding up the same way for Max that it added up for Pandy.
No, because Pandy's like running the sangria business. Like, Max is only a few years younger than her and he's still bussing.
He can't get it together.
Like, he lurks in the background behind Lala in the opening credits.
And he's had one scene this season where he showed up to the Roxbury where James was setting up.
Or the Redberry, and he had
Redberry,
and he had no idea what was the. So there was some like
everyone was at Sandoval's fundraiser, but he wasn't invited,
and his own parents were there. And it's like, for Max not to make the cut, like, I think Tom and Ariane actually liked Max. Like, I think they
were friendly with him. Yeah,
and I feel like Jeremy kind of falls into almost like a Max category where it's like they should all be hitting it off.
Wait, do we need to talk about quickly the like Jeremy? Did you see that news about him?
No.
There was something on like a gossip website that said that he had restraining order against him for like, hang on.
Is that why he lives here now?
Mm-hmm. Because he pulled some Florida shit.
Ooh, I hate that. You know, you're fucked when that Florida shit comes out because that never leaves.
Jeremy Maddox may be new to Vanderpump Rules, but he's not a stranger to breaking the law. Radar Online can exclusively reveal that Ariana's younger brother was arrested multiple times for violating a restraining order placed against him by his ex in Florida.
You know, I have to tell you something really disturbing just happened as you showed me that. I, like, opened up my phone to see if I could look up this Jeremy thing. My cousin came home to her cat. Mm-hmm. Dead.
No.
And not only did she text me about it, but she texted me a picture of his dead body, and I'm literally
just now
so confused. Yeah, I like literally I like can't. I want to I asked her what happened, but I'm afraid to open the text back up because there's still going to be a picture of a dead cat there.
Wait, was it outside or inside?
It was, I mean, it's inside, dead on a towel. Like it's like I can't.
No,
I can't. I'm like, Fiona needs to pull it together. I can't. Like,
things have taken a dark turn.
You don't text the, I mean.
Its little mouth is open.
I know. Tiger.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Pray for Tiger.
Pray for Tiger. She still has Chanel, but I mean.
But Tiger is, like, such a cutie.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
Was she on vacation?
No.
She
was just out for the day.
You guys, life is fleeting and anything can happen.
You can get a restraining order. Tiger could die.
You could move to LA and get on a show.
I know. Congratulations, Tom Sandoval, by the way, for a really standout performance in the movie. I don't want to distract with the death of this cat from how amazing Tom did. Really great stuff.
Yeah. Really good stuff.
They all have been doing great stuff.
I love your guys' work. I love your, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I hope you never stop doing the show.
You know, Katie is listening to this thinking.
I know.
That the dead cat is our karma. Like, someone out there on my side is hurting just as much as she is right now.
I know. Well, Katie, I'm still ready for an apology. Yeah. So anytime. You want to apologize for drain shaming me and threatening my plumbing. Which
this
is already
whole building's going
to
be
which
going
is already
it.
Fragile enough to begin with. I don't see why you have to then rope every resident of my building into your personal problems with me. So I think you not only owe me an apology, but you may go door to door to all the tenants in my apartment building and apologize to them as well. Because when you say something about the plumbing, it not only affects me, it affects everyone. You can apologize to Ryan, too, because it'll definitely affect him.
Lara, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I'm really happy to be here. I'm very happy for you that you're doing this. It's important that you soldier on during these tough times. The internet would have missed your voice.
Well, I love them and I love everyone that listens to this podcast and is here for it because I'm here for them.
And I'm going to fucking go upstairs and just clog your drain with cum rags right before I leave. I'm here for you, Katie. I'm Team Katie. Joke's on you, Lara. I've been stuffing cum rags down your drain this whole time.
This is sabotage.
I know. I acted like I didn't know where you live today. I was like, oh, where do you live?
You like crept up from around the back of the building and you're like, hey, like brushed a little dirt off your shoulders. Like you weren't just in the basement clogging my drains with your cum rags. But I got your fucking number. Get out.
I would do anything to see a full shot of the cum rag. Like I like the whole, like they only, we only see pieces of it.
I think we could Google it right now and find a good
picture. Full shot of the cum rag.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I mean, thanks, Lara.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.